Let me know if you hear any static.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can you paint up on the frame, dude? We stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flows. Started out as hungry young bulls out to make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can you paint up on the frame, dude? We stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, mind is like a deep mind that's full of gold. Better dig it out before the time will turn you old. Yeah. I ain't talking about the physical, I'm spiritual. If you follow with your calico, I'm Alamo. I'm standing here to make my stand until I go. Why you acting like a hater? Oh, I'm so intangible. Look it up. Some vocab in your bloody manifold. I've been making these records like I'm very man alone. Ain't no telling when you follow self and how the man will grow. Ain't no telling how you make your wealth and how the plan will show. All the people had to climb up out they mental catacombs. I'm a sellout at the drone, rapping with a megaphone. I'm a god up on this microphone, I came to raise a throne. Vibrating in a mega zone with my metronome. I'm so loyal, I can't leave my home, I can't leave alone. I'm so loyal, I can't leave my own, the mimic of the throne.
Welcome. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is, what is today? Friday, that's right. Today is Friday, December the 28th. Let me get my mic a little closer. Friday, December the 28th of 2018. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sister, we're going to wrap up the series entitled Feelingpreneur. We are all feelingpreneurs. We are feeling entrepreneurs. We are organizers, and we are expressors of our feelings. And that organization and that expression draws back whatever we send out. So today, my brothers, we want to wrap it up with part three as we talk about something that's extremely important, and that is understanding how we create, how we control, how we can change, and lastly, how we manifest our feelings. This is so important because, as we talked about in part two, God will only tell you what you feel. Let me say that again. The universe or God will only reveal to you what you feel or what you ask, and the way that you ask is by your feelings. We also talked about that men are designed to give feelings, women are designed to receive feelings. Since most men are unaware of our jobs, most men go around looking for feelings, and we expect somebody to make us feel something. We do not over, under, and understand our job. Therefore, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Men go around looking for attention. We are attention hounds. At least I was. As a retired attention hound, my job used to be was getting attention either negatively or positively. See, you can only see negative if you feel negative. Women were designed by the Creator to receive. That's why they have vaginas. Men was designed to give. That's why we have a penis. But since this kind of got lost in the translation, especially with this modern environment that we live in, the inability to create, the inability to understand, how do you feel when something happens to you? Regardless of if it's good or bad, your job is to control the feeling. So how do you feel, my brother? How do you feel, my sister? It is this ability to understand our feelings, because our feelings bring about our reality. So number one, as we go through this series, we want to break down our feelings. And when we talk about feelings, we're talking about, you know, our characteristics and attribute that is inside, not outside. So our feelings make up our universe. The universe only responds to hunger. It only responds to questions. It only responds to feelings that are made up in the mind. So our job is to, number one, to create our own feelings internally, so that way those feelings can be expressed externally. Let me say that again. Your job, my brother, your job, my sister, is to be a feelingpreneur. Now, how do we create our feelings? Well, thankfully, there's a great book that I talk about all the time that besides all of the stuff that Dr. Miles Monroe wrote and talked about, Dr. Bruce Lipton has a lot of great information out on biology. I have a lot of great information in my books as well, dealing with neurotheology, how the brain is hardwired for God. I talk about neurotheology and nutrition. I also talk about in that book, neurotheology, how to create your feelings based upon the Word of God. Now, your mood, M-O-O-D, is turning around D-O-O-M. Your mood is your doom. There's a lot of people who were like I was back in the day, had trouble controlling their moods. I did not understand what I understand now. And that is, according to Dr. Bruce Lipton, Maxwell Gershom, Jethro Kloss, and the list goes on and on, a great cellular biologist and great neurotheologist and neurobiologist who understand the brain. You can rewire your brain to be whatever, preferably love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control, because these are the fruit. This is the result of love. And as you know, we're not in love with a person. We're not in love with a place. We're not in love with a thing. We are in love with love, because God is love. It's this inability to get confused, and therefore you depend upon a person to provide you with a feeling. You depend upon a place to provide you with a feeling. You depend upon a thing to provide you with a feeling. Big mistake. Your feelings should be established internally by language and by the kingdom and by the king. So the king has a kingdom, and his kingdom is based upon keys. If your reality is not based upon these keys that's found or that has been established by the king, that is only available in the kingdom, then your dog don't hunt. That simply means, my brother, that simply means, my sister, that you're building your foundation upon sand up on a slippery slope. So we don't want to do that. We want to build our foundation up on a sure foundation. So in order to create our thoughts or create our feelings, which comes from our thoughts, we got to rewire our brain. And we have to rewire our brain. And the way that we rewire our brain is by simply recalling three things, preferably at least three, because a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. And this gets into what is called cryptotronics, which is the understanding of the Fibonacci sequence and also the Solfeggio sequences. These are three numbers. The first number represents the past. The second number represents the present. The third number represents the future. Once you understand, and I know I'm probably pronouncing it, it's S-O-L-F-E-G-G-I-O, the Solfeggio frequencies, and I know everybody's heard of it, there are six tones on a scale that makes a complete circle, 528 being love. Each one of these represents a particular chakra system in the body. Now, some people say there's six, some people say there's seven, some people say there's nine, regardless of what say ye, the one that's missing is the yut, U-T. So on the musical scale, we have do, re, mi, fa, la. There is no yut. There is no U-T. But if you look at the ancient text, or if you look at the original text, you will see yut, which is 396 hertz. And if you notice, all of the frequencies are three digits. And these three digits represents create, control, and change. So depending on the frequency that hits the ear, because faith cometh by hearing, for all of my biblical scholars out there and my Bible thumpers, you guys know we have to throw in some scriptures to verify along with the biology and also the esoteric text. As you know, everything that I teach and talk about, I'm able to prove on three levels. So when the Reverend Dr. Bishop show up, I make sure I have the scriptures. When the physicists and the cellular biologists show up, I make sure I have the biology. And when the historians and the histology people show up, I make sure I have the esoteric text to back up everything that I teach and everything that I say. That is why my $10,000 challenge that I have out, that I've had out for the last 10 years, that $10,000 is still safely inside of my pocket. And I don't anticipate, in fact, I know that $10,000 will not be leaving my pocket no time soon. Why is that, Brother Jay? Jay Money? Because I have something called the Word of God. See, the Word of God cannot return void, because the Word of God is based upon universal spiritual law. Now, let me make sure you understand something, because, see, in the kingdom, there's a king. This king that we know as Jesus the Christ or Yahushua the HaMashiach, this king wrote these or established these rules that we call universal spiritual law. So these laws are established. So if you know the king, and we all are sons and daughters of the king. So if we are sons and daughters of the king, it might behoove us to be familiar with these laws that have been established by the king. Since the king has established these laws and we are citizens inside of the kingdom, then we might want to over, under, and understand these laws. And one of these laws is found in the book of Romans, I think it's 12:2. Again, I always paraphrase stuff, but I'm going to have to start, you know, looking up, because it talks about do not conform to a pattern. So these patterns establishes power that it talks about. And again, if you go to your constitution, you know, chapter 12, subchapter 2, you will see where it states in Romans 12:2. First of all, it tells us not to do something. And that says do not be conformed. Now, that's a very profound word in the original text, because many of us, unfortunately, we are already conformed. So the word conformed means to fashion something like something else. So many of us, we are feeling something that comes from something else. It's not original. You see, you must be original or you're going to die a copy. See, I was a copy for most of my life, and just recently I've become an original. So an original establishes his own frequency. Most people get their frequency from something or from someone else. I recommend that you establish your own frequency and you send it out so that the frequencies coming in don't override the frequency that's already there. So if I have something called dunamis power that comes from clarity of purpose or design that comes from the Father, because I've been predestined, I've been predetermined. God said he knew me in my mother's womb. He called me, he justified me, he sanctified me, he glorified me. So therefore, I know from whence my power comes from. It doesn't come from my books. It doesn't come from my environment. It doesn't come from my food. It doesn't come from the reverend, the doctor, the bishop, the government. I know, I don't believe, I know that when I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I don't feel evil because I have something that didn't come from evil. I have something that came from source. I don't have something that came from man. So therefore, the government can't take what it didn't give. So therefore, I can create because my Father is a creator. See, the offspring of a thing grows up and it has the same attributes and it has the potential as the thing. So I have sons and my sons have my DNA in their body. So therefore, my sons are an exact expression. Like when I look at my father, I look exactly like my biological father. And I have certain attributes and characteristics like my biological father. And so you have certain attributes, characteristics like your heavenly father that should override your mood so you don't end up in doom. Because your MOOD determines your DOOM. Your doom is the result of your mood that's not in line with God's mentality. So the Bible says in Philippians 2:5, again, I'm paraphrasing, you might want to look it up, let this mind be in you. See, many people think that it is error to be or to put on the mind of Christ. I don't understand, but I hear a lot of Reverend Dr. Bishops who teach and preach that. They teach and preach that we should be subservient. See, I don't pray to God. I pray as God. Now, I know that's contrary to your belief. I understand. I used to have that same belief system. Now, remember, again, I'm a retired Reverend Dr. Bishop, so I understand. See, many of us have a difficulty understanding that we're made in the image and likeness of God. Many of us have difficulty over understanding that God has called us. He has equipped us. See, we have to be able to visualize only what we want. Because, see, the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, again, this was something that's inside the Constitution that was written by the king that has this kingdom that's based upon these keys. And we are kids inside this kingdom. So we got to be careful how we think. The Bible tells us to bring every thought into captivity to see. We're supposed to examine it to make sure that it aligns with our design. So if my thoughts do not align with my design that I got from my designer or from my king or from the big G or from God or Jesus the Christ or Yahushua the HaMashiach, then I can't shine. So I have to visualize what I want. Because if I visualize what I don't want, I have to feel the things that I want. So if I feel the things that I don't want, I bring about the things that I don't want. Now, feeling and wanting should align with design. See, I don't preach self-help. Now, I used to, but I came out of the self-help movement. I came out of the name it and claim it. That was a great book written by Hank Hanekraft. The name of the book was called Christianity in Crisis. I remember reading that book many, 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 many years ago, probably before some of you folks was even born. That's back when I was in the faith movement. And back then, we had faith in faith. I didn't have faith in source. I didn't have faith in God. I had faith in science. I like science. I like biology, but I understand that something, someone, somewhere created this thing that we call science, and we're part of it. And God has chosen to express, expose, and expand himself as an electromagnetic pulse. Now, I'm not saying that God is that. I'm saying that he's chosen to express, expose, and expand himself to us as that. So God has chosen what we call love. So it is the love of love, because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8, 9, and 10, somewhere now, I'm paraphrasing, you might want to look it up. It says that God himself will give you a strong delusion if you do not have the love. See, it is the love of the love. It's not the love of things. So in order to, now again, we're talking about the first C of the three C's, create, control, change. So right now, the feelings that you have, You didn't create them. You got them from somebody. Somebody made you feel that way. So let's say you married, you come home, and your wife is, you know, she left you for your, you know, she ran off with your brother. Or she traded you in, you know, for a woman. Or let's say, you know, you came home and, you know, home is not home. They repoed your house. They foreclosed on your house because, you know, you didn't make the payment. Or you went to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, homie, you got, you know, sorry to tell you, but you got 3 months to live. You got stage blank, you know, cancer. So something making you feel something, but it's not original. It's not your feeling. That feeling came from outside of you. It did not come from inside of you. So you got a choice today. You can believe what God said and wrote. You can believe the king who gave you some keys so that way you can live in his kingdom, or you can believe what someone else says. You got a choice today. So the choice, however, it cuts both ways. See, the word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts in and it cuts out. That's what Hebrews 4:12, again, I'm paraphrasing. You might want to look it up. It says that the word of God is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's bipolar. That's polarity. See, we live in a world of polarity. Now, I don't really think. In fact, I know God did not design or did not, the original intent was for us to have life and life more abundantly, because that's what the Son said. And the Son said he don't say nothing that he hadn't seen his Father say. The Son, Yahushua, said that he's only here to do the will of his Father. He's not here to express, expose, or expand his own agenda. So the Son, he laid down his will. He denied himself. He picked up his cross, and he's following the Father. So the Son saying, if you want to, you know, hey, I'm the forerunner. The Son says that he's the firstborn of many brethren. So we're supposed to do the same thing that he did and even greater things, because he's seated at the right hand of the king. And so now, as a joint heir, as a royal priest. Now, again, I'm not making this up. This is actually in the Constitution. So in the Constitution, it says you are a co-creator with the creator because you're made in the image and likeness. So if you visualize fear, doubt, and unbelief, you will make them real. You will manifest that in your life. So number one, in order to create feelings, you got to take control, which is number two. Okay, Brother Will, what does that mean? Well, this is how I did it. All I did, fear comes in. I immediately replace what happens outside of me with what God put inside of me. That's just what I do. Now, everybody got to come up with your own system, but just make sure that your system, which is your cistern, according to the book of Jeremiah. See, many of us, we have cisterns that don't hold water. That's what it talks about in Jeremiah. So in the book of Jeremiah, it tells us that a cistern is something that holds water. So just make sure whatever system that you have, it holds the word. It holds water. It holds truth. See, God is consciousness, not a creator from the perspective of our definition, meaning God is source of creation itself. So it's really interesting that if you see God as outside of you, that separates you. It's very important that you understand that it is the totality of everything is what we call, or what I call, God, or source. So when you call, or when I say, I am, as it says in Psalms 82:6, this is in the Constitution, and it also says in the book of John, I forgot what it says, that somewhere in John, Jesus himself said that you said in your law that ye are gods. Now, in Psalms 82, it says that we, ye, are gods. Now, again, it says, little g, it also tells us that we are the temple of God, the temple. It also tells us that we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. It also tells us that we should be perfect, for our Father is perfect. So since we are little g's, according to the Constitution, that's in, now again, I'm reading this from your Bible. Jesus, you know, when they asked him, this was John 10:33-34, also Psalms 82:86, so it's in the old and in the new. So the Hebrew translation of that word is Elohim, and I've broken down on that before. Remember, English is a backwards language, so Elohim means him of El. El is God. E-L means God. H-I-M means him. That means you, boo-boo. That means you are of God. So Elohim, he's saying that you are made from me. You are a part of me. Now, it also says this in the book of Genesis. This is why I struggle when I talk to Reverend Dr. Bishops when they try to dumb me down. You can't put God in a box. You can't put no freaking label on source. It says that you are made in the image and likeness of God. I mean, that's what I read in Genesis 1:26. I don't know. What does it say in your Bible? Maybe we got different Bibles. I don't know. But in my Bible, it says that I am made in the image and in the likeness. So therefore, I'm going to roll with what the Bible says instead of what some man has told me that it says. Because I've read it for myself. So when I call myself God, I'm not talking about my personal self. I'm talking about my spiritual source. I'm talking about the Christ or the Christos. Because the Bible also says we have this treasure, but where is it at? Where's the treasure at, Brother Ron? Where's the treasure at? Now, the Gospel of Thomas says that if you think the treasure is outside of you, wherever the treasure is at, that's going to precede you. So the Bible says that we have. The Bible also tells us, remember in the book of Jeremiah, that we have inherited lies. So I'm here to remove the lies and replace error with truth. So the Bible says that we've inherited lies. Jeremiah 16:19, that's what it says. So when you look at that, so it says that, where do we get these lies from? Our fathers. It says, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanities, things wherein there is no profit. Well, the reason I know this, because when I was a young whippersnapper, licensed and ordained minister coming up in the church, that's what happened to me. I had a lot of scriptures, but I didn't have no profit. Not necessarily materially. I had no morality. I had no morals. I had no values. And so I know from personal experience, I didn't read about this in a book. I got personal experience that there is no profit in what is primarily been taught today. In most tradition, that's why I don't teach tradition, Brother Ron. I teach dominion, homie, as you know. So dominion, because Jesus came preaching the kingdom, not the gospel. So my teachings are different from most reverends, most doctors, and most bishops, most pastors, most elders, most priests, most evangelists. They preach the gospel. I preach the kingdom. See, the reason I preach the kingdom, because I got the kingdom has a king. The kingdom said, the king said this, man. I didn't make this up. The king told me, preach the gospel of the kingdom. So I'm not preaching the gospel of nothing else but the kingdom. Because Jesus came preaching and teaching. Now, it's interesting because in order to create, you got to do both. You need preaching and teaching. You just can't have preaching and no teaching. You just can't have teaching and no preaching. It requires both. It talks about that in the book of Matthew as well. And I broke that down before. That's why I do didactic teaching. Why? I want to create my own thoughts. Now, according to biology, anything that is frequently repeated that produces an emotional charge more than 21 days establishes a new neural net in the brain. Let me say that again. Okay, how do I create thoughts? Because I want to establish a new neural net. Now, remember, I didn't read Romans 12:2, but it says the same thing in the book of Romans for my Bible scholars. Romans 12 tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing or the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. How do we discern the will of God? Testing. How do we test? So what I do is I read the scriptures, and I read it, and it said God wishes to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that I can ask or think. So, J Money, I take that and I test it. I also read in 3 John 1:2, it says that God wishes that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. So as my soul prospers, my wealth should prosper, my health should prosper. So I read that. So the Bible says test it. So that's what I did. I tested it, and guess what I found out? I found out that God honors his word above his own name. That's scripture too. And then I tested again, and then I found out that God's word cannot return void. So now I know, I don't need no reverend, no doctor, no bishop to tell me. I know that anytime I see a problem, I see somebody violating a law. Now, since people don't know that the king has a kingdom, and the kingdom is based upon keys, these keys are what we call laws. Now, there are universal spiritual laws, as I talked about before, and most people don't have those universal. They have laws, but they're not universal. Those laws that everybody have today, they didn't come from my king. They came from King James. Now, I like King James. Let's not get it towards the King James. You know, he was a flaming homo sapien. You know, so, hey, I like King James. He was a good king. He's not my king. So I got a different king. So I don't have King James version. I have the original. I just went to source. I just went to the king. And I asked the king. And I asked the king, who has a kingdom that's based upon keys. And the king says that these keys are written in my heart. The king says, I have not written my laws on tablets of stone any longer, but I've written them in the hearts and the mind of my people. So if you are a son or a daughter of a king, you got two things. You got a purpose and an assignment. Now, people that I know that are not a part of the kingdom, I don't listen to them because they got a different king. They probably got King James. I got the King of Kings. I have the Lord of Lords. I have the Prince of Peace, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and the Morning Star, the Alpha and the Omega, the Beginning and the End. This is the highest God. I got the big G, not the little one. See, there's a lot of little G's that they can't give you purpose and they can't tell you your assignment. So I got my purpose and my assignment because purpose determines success, not your job. Purpose establishes toroidal energy, tachyon energy, and scalar technology. That's the law of three. That's why you got those three numbers in the do, re, mi, fa, a, or the yut that's missing. Why? Those are the keys. Well, Brother Will, what are you talking about that? Well, that's found in the Constitution. Where is it found at, Brother Will? Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. See, the king, he established the kingdom. And the king gave us these keys. That's why I have the kingdom, meaning as training center, that's based upon the keys that was given to me by the king. Because keys open doors. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a key to my car. I have a key to my home. I have a key to my safe. So these keys, so there are keys to the kingdom. So the keys are of the kingdom. Now, this is found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Now, this is extremely important. This is how I create thought that overrides reality. Now, everybody lives in reality except for me. When I was a young man growing up, man, my brothers and sisters, everybody knew me. They said, man, Willie, man, that dude's touched, man. Something wrong with him. See, I knew in my, and Brother Rome, I knew in my spirit, brother. I knew in my spirit that something was off. I couldn't prove it, but something was off. And I didn't buy into the system, so I rebelled. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have the keys. But I knew the key that they gave me, I knew that wasn't the key. Because the people that was giving me the keys, they were living in poverty. Now, this is the problem I had, Brother Rome. I had this problem, brother. When I was a kid growing up, all the Reverend Dr. Bishops was telling me that they served a God that owned a cattle on 1,000 hills, and that his desire was for us to be, you know, for us to prosper and be in health, even as he prospers. But all the Reverend Dr. Bishops, they didn't have no money. But they was telling me that they served a God that did. So I had a conundrum. I was confused, my brother. I didn't understand. I didn't understand because they were telling me that they serve a God of abundance, but they were living in poverty. And they would serve a God of healing, but they were sick. and they served the God of wisdom, but they were ignorant. And they served the God of great relationships, but their relationship sucked. Their ability to relate to me sucked because they was conformed to a pattern. So number one, in order to create, you got to disconnect from the pattern of the world. What does that mean? You cannot create like the world. Romans 12:2 tells me, do not be conformed to this world. That word conformed means, I can't even pronounce it in the Greek, but it's a long Greek word that means to operate on the same frequency as the world. Do, re, mi, fa, la, and yet those frequencies are different from the world. But then it says be transformed. I like the word transform, metamorpho. That word means to transfigure or means to morph. It means to transform. That means to change your pattern, your form. So if you change your mental, you change your physical. So, but I need a key. How do I do it? By renewing my mind. So this Greek word, the Greek word renewal means change of heart, a renovation of the heart. So in order to renew my mind, I got to renew my heart. Let me say it again. Now, this is how you create a new feeling. It comes from your heart, not your head. See, many people are trying to change their thinking. They're not changing their feeling. God responds to your feelings. Now, your feelings come from your thinking, but the way you change your thinking, you have to reverse engineer how you got your feelings. The devil is a linguistical genius. He knows that your actions, you got to reverse engineer. If you steal something, you can't stop stealing. What you got to do, if you steal something, that means that you feel something. And if you feel something, that means that you think something. So you got to reverse engineer the action. This is how you become a feelingpreneur. This is how you become a multi-billionaire. You got so much feelings that you just draw unlimited wealth, unlimited health, unlimited wisdom, and unlimited relationships. Because you know, you feel, okay, Christmas is a feeling. It's not a thing. Christmas just came. What happened on Christmas Day? Everybody felt something. Okay, Christmas is gone. What do you feel right now? Do you still feel Christmassy? Why not? What happened? Where'd the feeling go? The feeling of Christmas is gone. How come you don't feel like Valentine's Day? Because it's not Valentine's Day. Well, how come you don't feel like Valentine's Day? Because you ain't thinking about Valentine's Day. So your feelings come from your thinking. It creates thoughts plus emotions equals action. You must marry thoughts and emotions together. That's what it says in the Gospel of Thomas, verse 106, in the Gospel of Thomas, verse 48. It also says it in John 16:23. We're getting ready to read Matthew 16:19, because if you don't do this, you can't create your own feelings. You have to marry your head and your heart. Now, what you get comes from your gut, meaning what's in the head originally came from the gut. If you connected to God, our source, or your design, or your purpose, what does that mean? That means when you look at your purpose, there is a gut, something in your gut that says, something in my gut says, I'm a compassionate teacher. Why? When I was a little kid, I just want to help people. I didn't know how to teach them, though, because I didn't have no experience. Then I got some experience, and so now the wisest people on earth have the worst life or had the worst lives. That's where they get their wisdom from, all of their experiences. So my gut told me something. My brain examined it, and it said, yep, that makes sense. And it went down to my heart, and my heart amplified what my brain got from my gut. And that brings about and that establishes my reality. So I am a feelingpreneur. So I created something because I understand keys that I'm trying to teach you today. What keys, Brother Will, do you understand? Well, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, we'll start with verse 18, and it says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it." Didn't say it won't prevail against you, Peter, but it says it won't prevail against it. What is it? The rock. What is the rock? What he's telling him. What is he telling him? A commandment. What is a commandment? A statement. What is a statement? It is pistis and paito. It is a phrase. It is a frequency or word that contains a tone. It is an incantation. It is an incarnation. It is an incarceration. This is the etymology of statements or commands. This is a verbal thought form that is being formed in the mind of a man so that way it can manifest in the body or in the physicality of this reality. So when Matthew 16:18 says, "I tell you," bam, that's it. The king is making a statement. When the king makes a statement, establishes a mental disposition in the mind that hears it. Father, touch the minds of your people. When you hear a statement from the king, it's not like statements that are made from non-kings, because the king has dominion, and the king has dominion over five things. So the king gave you that dominion that we already talked about in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. So you have the same power, just on a smaller scale, to make a statement, to establish a mind or establish a feeling in the mind of the people that hear the statement. So right now I'm making statements, and these statements are creating feelings. And those feelings, if they're not controlled, are going to manifest in your body. So right now if I'm making a statement and it's pissing you off, you might want to examine that, bring that thought into captivity and see if it is of your design. If it's not, you need to get rid of the statement that I'm making. Otherwise, it's going to manifest in your life. That's how powerful what we are doing that we call talking is. We weren't designed to do this, but this is a dumbed-down version of mental telepathy. Number one, which establishes the other three, that's why I'm spending the whole hour talking about number one, because the last three are the result of number one. What is number one? Create your own thoughts. I tell you that you are Peter. Notice what he told Peter. What did he tell Peter? I tell you that you are Peter. He told Peter his name. Why did he tell Peter his name? Because man is name. He didn't tell Peter his job. See, if you get a job, anybody can get a skill. And somebody that's younger than you or that can do that skill better than you can replace you. He didn't give Peter a skill. He didn't give Peter a job. He gave Peter destiny. He gave Peter his freaking name. Man is name, and name is man. Notice what he gave, and then he told Peter, "So you got a name. Your name is your destiny. And if you don't know your name, you don't know your destiny." He said, "And I will tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Your name, the gates of hell cannot prevail against your name. You must create from your name, because your name is your source that was given to you by your king. The king of kings established something inside of you that hell cannot prevail against. So the enemy must get you to abuse your name. He must get you to destroy your name. That's why, you know, that back in the old school days, your handshake and your name was gold. Now people's names is dirt. Well, let me rephrase that. My name. Because I didn't respect my name. Because I didn't know the value and the power of my name. Now I do. So he tell Peter, "I tell you that you are Peter." He didn't say you are a carpenter. He didn't say that you are a plumber. He didn't say nothing about no talent or no skill. He told Peter design and purpose, because purpose establishes your assignment. So he told people, he told Peter his name, and inside of his name is his assignment. And inside of your name is your assignment. Do you know your assignment, my brother? Do you know your assignment, my sister? Because your purpose is the reason why you created. Your assignment is what you are, why you are on the planet. See, if you want something without effort, you are violating universal spiritual law. He was telling people, this is how you express your effort. So let me get this right. So you want money and you want to put no effort. You want to con somebody. You want to come up with a clever scheme. That's violating the king's law. You're not going to prosper. You might get a couple of nickels, but that's about it. The king was establishing a statement. That's how you create. You create a feeling by making statements. That's how you create. That's how I create. And I choose to make the statements that the Father has already stated. Because why? Those statements have collective power because they've been around for years. So everybody who's made those same statements, I'm piggybacking, I'm connecting my frequency with their frequency, so they got power, dunamis power. So it says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So name contains purpose, assignment, and keys. Somebody should write that down. Your name contains your purpose. Your name contains your assignment, and your name contains your keys. That's why I'm doing. That's why I'm doing business blueprint based upon name. And I did the sale. Gone now, but the sale originally sold for $2 a page. And for the people that ordered that, I'm working on those. I'm knocking them out right now. Do what? To tell you your purpose, to tell you your assignment, and to give you your keys. So that way you can do what? I will give you the keys of, not to. These are the keys of heaven. These are not the keys to heaven. Oh, man. Do you understand what I just said? Father, touch the minds of your people. You have the keys of heaven. You do not have the keys to heaven. The keys that you have, they don't open the doors to heaven. The keys that you have establish heaven on earth. You have the keys of heaven. You don't have the keys to heaven. The Father said you didn't get it. Let me say it again. Let me say it again. Let me say it again. You don't have keys to open the doors to go to heaven. So, Negro, you're not going nowhere. I hate to be the bearer of good news. So you can stop, you know, waiting to die to go to heaven. You have the keys to heaven. Let me make sure. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So let me get this right. So God gave us the keys of heaven. He did not give us the keys to heaven. I got to make sure I say it right. This is extreme. That one word, the keys of. So the keys of heaven are all of the secrets that are contained of heaven. They're not the keys of heaven. Like when I say, if I say that I am of something, what I'm saying is I am made up of. I have the same ingredients. So he gave us the keys of heaven. So the keys that we have are of heaven. They're not in. So these are keys that are of heaven. So everything that belongs of heaven, we got keys to. We have the keys of heaven. We got keys of heaven. So of and to are similar, but there's a difference. Of heaven versus to. So for everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, you have the keys of heaven. Let it resonate so that way when this show ends, you are creating things of heaven, not earth. You are establishing heaven on earth because you got the word of. Let me see if I can break this down a little deeper. Of is what they It's a prepositional phrase or statement. You know, it is an indication of, or the word of is like a, is something that expresses a descriptive objective or adjective. It's a descriptive adjective. Now, if you remember school and in your grammar classes, and we talk about, you know, adverbs and, you know, adjectives, these are, you know, words that modify nouns and pronouns. So the word of modifies the next word after it. So of is a modifier. It changes or modifies the next word that comes after it. So when we're talking about a adjective and we're talking about this word of, and I got to make sure that you understand, it is a modification of the next word. So we have the keys of heaven. So the word of, again, modifies something. So that simply tells me that I am in possession of heaven. The word of, it modifies the next word. So I'm in possession of the kingdom. And how do I know that? Because I just did a sermon on Sunday that says repent. That means to change your mind for the kingdom. The word kingdom means rulership and dominion of heaven, not in heaven. So we all have possession of. The word possession or the word of means ownership. The word of has to do with you going away and basically taking or getting something. Now, I had to spend a little time to break down that two words, those two letters, OF. So that way you can under, over, and understand. That's how you create. You got to create of, you got to create things of heaven, not things of earth. So the word repent means to change your mind. Kingdom means royalty of heaven. So we are here to not conform to the pattern of the world. Romans 12:2. So I'm a, as a guy, as a feelingpreneur, my job is not to create the feelings that exist on earth. I'm here to create the feelings of heaven. So what are the feelings of heaven? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness. So if you feel anything other than that, you're in trouble. That's the problem. See, I talk to people every day that this thing that we call life, yeah. Are you doing what you love? Are you in love with love? Are you in love with a person or a thing? See, you are here, my brother, to establish the feeling of heaven on earth. What does it feel like in heaven? What does it feel like? Okay, well, what does it feel like when you are in love? Whatever that definition of that is, that's heaven. Because God is love. He didn't create love. He is love. So as a feelingpreneur, you want to, number one, create the feeling everywhere you go. You are creating the feeling, but guess where it starts at? In you. So I cannot make somebody else feel love. If I'm devoid of it, I can't give what I don't have. So if you don't like something, change it. If you don't like your job, quit. Make sure you got some savings though set up. If you don't have time for, you know, if you don't have enough time to do the things you love, stop doing the things you don't love, like watching TV. If you're not looking, or if you are looking for love, stop. You can't find love. You cannot find the love. If you're single and you're looking for the love of your life, stop. If you're single, be love. And guess what happened? Love will find you. Stop looking for love and be love. What does that mean? Feel love. What does that mean? Create love. How? Think about the things that you love. at least 3 to 4 times a day, establish that feeling, and guess what happens? Do you know that the brain, this is number, I'm on number 3 already. So number 1, create love. How do we do that? By simply doing what it says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Because it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So we have these keys that are of the kingdom of heaven. So whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That just simply means you take what's in heaven and you establish on earth, and the Father is going to bind it for you. Binding, that simply means the Father is going to establish it. It means to fasten it. So the Father is going to establish it. So that's how you control your feelings. How do you control your feelings? By establishing the feelings of heaven. Number 1, create whatever feeling love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. You create that where? In your brain. How do we do that? With our thoughts. So somebody comes up to you, you start feeling bad, immediately start quoting scriptures. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but he's given me a spirit of love, joy. He gave me a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. The Bible says, you've been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to me? So what do? To create a feeling of love, I think about things that I love. I think about the people that I love. I think about the places that I love. I think about all of the stuff that I love. And guess what it do? The brain does not understand, and this is the most powerful part of today's message. Do you know, according to biology and according to the science, the brain does not know the difference between fiction and reality? Your brain can actually, or your brain can't, tell the difference between real and imaginary. So if you can imagine love when you're not in love, the brain will release the chemicals of love and you will be in love 21 days later. If you can do that for 21 days, you create a new neurological network. If you do it for another 21 days, you create a habit. If you do it for another 21 days, you create a destiny. That's how you rewire your brain for success. That's how you control, and that's how you change. Last is the manifest. Number 1, create heaven on earth. How? Think about things you love. Brother Will, I don't love nothing. Okay, that's awesome. Think about the things that you felt in the past that made you feel love. Now, there may be somebody that has never felt love before. I doubt that very seriously. But there may be somebody that have never felt a feeling that is overwhelming. If that's you, if you've never felt that feeling, one of the things I do, there's something called praise and worship. Now, I'm old school. There was a guy that came and he did a praise and worship seminar in the church I was at 20 years ago, way back in the day. His name was Ken Henry. It used to be under a producer or radio, not radio, but it was called Hosanna Integrity. Praise and worship music. Now, it's dangerous because you could fall into what I fell into, which is you start to worship. That's another problem. But if you claim you've never experienced love, now some people can do this with, opera. Some people can do it with jazz. Some people can do it with, music soothes or moves the soul. So if you're one of those people that say, "Well, brother, I don't know what love. I don't know how to establish that feeling, worship. What does that mean? Think about you alive. If you're alive, if you can do this, okay. The Bible says to submit your prayer, to submit your supplication unto God with thanksgiving. See, everybody prays, but very few people pray with thanksgiving, with an attitude of gratitude. This works 100% of the time. No matter how much money I had when I was homeless, when I was riding around San Antonio with a warrant for my arrest, at my darkest times, I always did this, and I always felt the presence of God. I always felt an overwhelming sense of love when I thanked God for life, period. Now remember, I'm not talking about hair color. I'm not talking about muscles. I'm not talking about breast. I'm not talking about your wallet. I'm not talking about what you have. I'm not talking about what you do. I'm not talking about your skill set. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about thanking God that you exist. You, not your stuff, not your physicality, your mentality. Thanking the Creator for giving you life. If you can do this, if you can breathe, you can be thankful. You can establish and you can contact. You can make contact with Source. You can make contact with the big G. God will show up, guaranteed. I triple dare you to get on your knees, to go walk outside, to find a tree, to go stand out in the sun, to go in your closet, to go somewhere. I triple dare you to thank God for your life. Just to thank God for being God, to thank God for grace, for thank him for his mercy. If you've never felt the presence of God, if you've never felt love, if you've never felt the joy of the overwhelming grace and mercy of God, thank him. Just go to God and don't ask for nothing. Don't pray for nobody else. Just thank him for being him or her. If you can do that, brother, if you can do that, I guarantee you, as God is my witness, he'll show up. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. See, I got a king. See, everybody else, a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people I know, they play church. They're not in love with love. See, I've been in a dark place where the only thing I had was breath. And I had to humble myself. And I had to thank God for nothing. When you get to that place, brother, when you get to that place, sister, where you thanking God for the gift of life, for the fact that, oh, yeah, you may be homeless, or you may be broke, maybe you just got fired, maybe you destroyed a relationship, I don't care, well, maybe you robbed a bank, I don't care what you did wrong, brother, I don't care what you did wrong, sister, you are still here, you are still breathing. So if you're still, thank God for the ability to, if you can do that, thank him for that. I guarantee you he'll show up. And from that place, create that feeling every day. Create a feeling, an attitude of gratitude, brother. Create an attitude. Thank him for being almighty. Thank him for his grace. Thank you. Well, brother, he ain't done nothing for me. That's okay. Thank him that you can breathe. That's enough. If he gave you life, if you ain't got a dime, if you live in the most podunk town, if you suffering from all kind of disease, and if you are you can't read, and if you can't write, and if everybody, you standing out in the jungle by yourself, can you breathe? Maybe you're blind. Maybe you're in a wheelchair. I don't know. But whatever's going on in your life, can you do this? If you can breathe, give God thanks. And if you can do that, brothers and sisters, that is going to bring about a control. That's going to allow you to go inside into the presence of the king. And in the presence of the king, that's where you change. See, true change comes from the presence of God. It doesn't come from the intellect of men. Now, I'm a very intellectual person. But I was born at night, but it just wasn't last night. I know from whence I come. And I know that there is a source that is greater than me. Now, just because I may not be able to name that source due to Council of Nicaea, due to King James, due to the rhetoric, due to all of the stuff, but guess what? God has written his laws in my heart. I know God because I can feel God. I've experienced God. See, people can take your title. They can take your position. But until they learn how to suck my brain out my skull, they can't take my experiences. I've been in the presence of God. I didn't read about it in the book. And it's only in the presence of the king. There comes a day and a time, brother, when you got to drop your religion and you got to have a personal, private relationship with God. That's a feelingpreneur. A feelingpreneur is someone who understands that when all else fails, I have been young and now I am old. I never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. That's what my king said. My king said that he would never leave me nor forsake me. My king said he reigns on the just and the unjust. My king says, do you see the lilies in the field? They neither sow nor reap, and I take care of them. How much more? So don't come to me, man, and tell me I got to jump through this hoop and jump through that hoop. That's not the God I serve. See, the God I serve, he's the God. He reigns on the just and the unjust. But see, there are keys. These keys are being violated. God isn't judging you. Your violation of these keys are judging you. When you violate God's keys, because he gave you the key of heaven, so you can understand the laws of heaven, so that way you don't violate his law on earth. So if you refuse to take the key and unlock the door, okay, it's on you. It's not on God. So your suffering is not God's fault. People say, well, Brother Will, why does a good God make bad things happen, brother? Now, them fools violating God's keys. You show me a man that's struggling. I'm going to show you a man that's ignorant of God's keys. He's ignorant of God's law. Now, unfortunately, there's this thing that they call gravity. Now, gravity is a law. Notice that it doesn't care if you're white or black. I've seen white people go on the roof and jump off and they fall. I've seen black people go on the roof, jump off, they fall. I've seen fat, I've seen skinny, I've seen happy, I've seen sad. These laws are universal. If you violate them, you suffer the law. The law judges you, not God. There's a people walking around blaming God for shizness he didn't do. You violate God's law, you suffer the consequences of the law. If you say, well, Brother Will, I thought we're not under the law, no more, brother. I thought we was under grace. We're under the supreme law of the supreme king that established the supreme kingdom. Number one, my brother, number one, you create based up on the ability to contact God, not man. Because if you are creating from a place, remember, we just read it when he told Peter, he said, Peter, he called his name. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail from it. Now, we just read what it says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. That is the foundation of establishing everything that I do in life. Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19 is the foundation of the Kingdom Ministries Training Center and being a superpreneur and a feelingpreneur, so that way you can be wealthy, healthy, wise, and you can maintain toe-curling relationships. Because guess what? I know when my wife is disappointed. She ain't got to say nothing. I can sense it. I got 12 senses. So do you. That's a feeling paneer. If my wife got to tell me now to take out the trash, something's wrong. Why? I know when the trash is full and it's bothering my wife. I can sense it because I'm tuned in. And I know when my king is upset because I'm violating his keys, because he gave them. And notice what he said. And let me close with this, because otherwise, this is how I manifest everything in my life. As God is my witness, I just looked at I was telling my wife, so the last 5 years, pretty much, every year my income has doubled. And I looked at and this is just my revenue from PayPal. And I remember, man, I telling this story, I get choked up. I just remember all the Negroes told me, man, you better go get a job, man. I don't know how many people told me that. I don't know how many people, now, no disrespect, because remember what I said. There's a lot of people that tell you to get a job, but how many people going to tell you to create a business? Nobody told me to create a business. So when I said I was going to go start a business online, doing what I love, Negroes looked at me like, what? But see, I had a relationship with God. And see, God told me the same thing that he told Peter. This is how you manifest anything in your life, anything being anything in your circle. Now, I could have said, God, I want to be an NBA center. And I could have cried, and I could have boo-hooed. But at 5'5", yeah, being a NBA center is not in my freaking design. So you can't come to me, brothers, sisters, and tell me, not me. Now, you can tell other people, but you cannot come to me and tell me that you are a man and you're in love with another man and that God told you and he ordained that and everything's cool. You can't tell me that, because I got biblical and I got biological. The anus is an exit area. It is not an entry point. You cannot tell me, man. I don't care what you tell me. Biologically, spiritually, and esoterically, That is incorrect. You are violating the king's key. It's called a principle. It's universal law. Therefore, God, I ain't judging you. Man, if you want to do it, but guess what happens? The law judges you, man. You violate. Now, don't believe me? Go on top of your roof and jump. Am I causing you to fall and break your bones? No. Your ignorance or willingness to violate law. So God punishes no man. His laws, however, do. So what is your job? Your job is to understand two things, purpose and assignment. If you do not understand your purpose, and if you do not know your assignment, you are violating God's law. You don't need no Ten Commandments. You don't even need the Bible. Now, I recommend you read it. It got some good stuff in there. But notice what he told Peter. Same thing he told me. Matthew 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18. It says, I tell you that you are Peter. How do you think Peter didn't know his name? Why would the king tell Peter, you Peter? Like, was Peter bumped his head and forgot who he was? No. He was telling Peter his design, because M-A-N, if you turn it around, because this is Enochian. This is the language of the fallen light beings. It is backwards. N-A-M is M-A-N. Man is name. Name is man. He was telling Peter, this is your design. He was telling Peter his assignment. If you don't know your purpose and your assignment, you are violating the king's keys, which are laws. I tell you that you are Peter. He didn't ask him. Notice he told him. So you mean to tell me God told you, he gave you a name, but you don't like it, and you're going to go change it? People ask me all the time, well, doctor, should I change my name? Hell no, you shouldn't change your name. Now, you can call yourself different. My name is Willie. I call my name Will because it is a derivative of Willie. I just like it because it sounds better. But at the end of the day, I ain't changing my name. I don't recommend you change yours either, because God gave you that name. Why? Because your name contains your purpose. This is called cryptophonics. Now, if I got into the esoteric power of letters and numbers, we'd be here for a long time. But let me just simply state what Jesus, the king, told one of his citizens. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Hell cannot prevail against your purpose and your assignment that's contained inside of your design, that's inside of your name. That's why I do name reports, the Dear Kinney reports, to show you your assignment and to show you your purpose. Why? Purpose is the reason that you are created. Your assignment is what you're supposed to do with your creation. Purpose determines your success, not man. Purpose determines, and purpose gives you the effort to fulfill your assignment. How do I know? Verse 19. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, not the keys to. He gave Peter, and he gave you, inside of your name contains the keys of heaven. So you can establish heaven on earth with your name, because man is name. That's why in scriptures there were certain men's destinies that was changed because of their name. So the only way any person should change their name is if God himself comes down and appears to you and says, my beloved son, take the shoes from off thy feet, for I'm about to change thy name. And if he come down and speak that King James English, you might want to see if that's really God. Now, I'm being, you know, a little, you know, fictitious, but my point is this, brothers and sisters. You cannot feel, well, I can't. I do not have the luxury of a negative feeling. The Bible says if you bring a gift to the altar and you have an altar against your brother who you see every day, pick up your gift and leave the altar. You see, brothers and sisters, it's real easy for us to violate the keys of heaven because we got keys to earth. Romans 12:2 tells me, do not take the keys of the world and try to unlock a feeling that's in heaven. That's what Negroes doing now. I used to be one of those Negroes. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need, there is a king, he has a kingdom, but his kingdom is based up on keys of heaven, not the keys of earth. That's why I don't do economics, I do cleronomics. You must establish the mindset of heaven inside of the body of earth, that's you. Why? Because it says it in Matthew 16, verse 20, I'm sorry, verse 19, when it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed on heaven. Then he astonished his disciples not to tell anyone, or he admonished his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. So my brothers and my sisters, that was the last part of this series on how to establish the feeling of heaven inside of the body of a man. How to feel good while being bad. Being bad meaning being in your body. Because according to Romans, we just read in part one, with my mind I serve God. But there's another law that is warring in my body. And it says, with my body, this is in your Bible. I didn't make this up. It says, with your body, you serve the devil. But with your mind, so we got two, you know, the flesh wars against the spirit wars against the flesh. So how should you feel? Well, what sins did God die for? What sins have you been forgiven? If the sins have been removed from you as far as the east is from the west, why are you feeling bad? I've talked to a lot of people and they feel bad. And I'm wondering, and they're wondering why they keep doing bad, why they stuck in Groundhog's Day, because they made a mistake and they feel bad. Your brain cannot tell the difference between what's real and what's imaginary. This is again, read Dr. Bruce Lipton's book. There are thousands of books. This is common knowledge now. If your brain cannot tell the difference between what is real and what is imaginary, why in hell would you ever imagine you being in hell if the brain is going to create it? Why in the world would you imagine you're sick, even if you are sick? Why wouldn't you imagine yourself well? If you ain't got a dime, why would you imagine yourself? Why would you agree with the doctor? Why would you agree with the bank? That's all I did. How do I manifest and change my life? I just chose to agree with God and not man. I just chose to agree that God said that he wishes to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that I can ask or think. I used to say that every day. When I didn't have a dime, when I was homeless, I used to say that. See, your imagination is so powerful. It's the image nation. I've already done that series already. And so people walk around telling me because they don't understand biology. So you mean to tell me that if you don't believe this, go watch a scary movie and try to create a happy feeling. Go watch a comic. Go watch, you know, Kevin Hart and try to be angry or try to be scary. Or men, if you are a young man in your prime, try to watch, I don't recommend it, but hey, for the sake of argument, try to go watch a porn movie and try not to have an erection. Why? Your imagination actually creates chemicals in the body that matches the vision that's in the head. So whatever, now again, this is biologically proven. That's why I like biology. It produces a positive or negative effect in the body. Now, the next message that I'm preaching, I have a 600-page book that was sent to me by a client. Now, I already have the frequencies that was given to me by my good brother, Dr. Will Hawkins, when I went to Houston, and he hooked me up on his machine, and we matched, and he proved this to me using technology. The spiritual root of all disease. I got the book in my hand. I'm looking at it right now. Every disease is the result of an emotion that has been held in the brain too long. Now, biologically proven. Book written by Dr. Henry W. Wright. Let me make sure you understand what I just said. I don't care what reality says. You do not have the luxury of a negative thought. The doctor says you got something really bad. You better say something different. You better think something different. You better believe something different. You should do it. Now, I'm not saying don't take no medicine, don't do none of that other stuff, but all I'm telling you, in your head, because the brain will actually produce the chemicals based upon the thought that is maintained in the freaking head. In other words, as far as your brain is concerned, what you imagine that is happening is actually happening. The brain doesn't care about reality. Oh, man, this changed my life, dude. This changed my 20, this is the only thing I got out of the self-help movement. Dr. Spann, are you listening? You can change your whole world by changing your mind. That's all I did. You want to be a millionaire? Hang out with millionaires. Watch millionaires. Think the way millionaires think. Do what millionaires do. I guarantee you, because God honors his word above his own name, you bring about what you think about. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That scripture, by the way. So we got the biology, we got the scripture, we got the esoteric text is just full of it. All types of stuff. Read the Gospel of Thomas. Gospel of Thomas, chapter 601, where it talks about you must be enveloped in the desire fulfilled. That's the same thing as faith that it talks about in Hebrews. The Bible, the ancient text, biology, they're all saying the same thing. Whatever you maintain in the head creates the chemical reaction in the body. And that's, guess what happens? That creates a behavior. If you want to change your life, change your thinking. That's all I did. So, brothers and sisters, that concludes this three-part series. Next, we'll be laying the foundation for the new series that this is a pay-per-view series. Wow. If you're still paying taxes, I mean, my income been tripled. I ain't paid taxes in 10 years. If you're still paying taxes, you're doing something wrong. So we're going to break down how to legally. I'm not talking about no legal stuff, no illegal stuff. This is moral and above the grade. Your deductions should match your income, basically. People don't know. What is it that they don't know? Well, that's the whole purpose of the series. I need to make sure that you understand that there are four ways to earn money. You can be an employee, you can be a professional, a doctor, a lawyer, you can be a business owner, or you can be a purpose-based entrepreneur. That's what I teach inside of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center. All four ways, there's only one way that you can earn or bring in money where you don't have to pay no taxes. You do, but you don't. Legally. Now, don't believe me? Ask Donald Trump. I have a video that Donald Trump, Nick Romney, I think it's quite a few politicians. There's a guy who I got a lot of my information from. He's a professor at the University of Texas, also where my son goes to school at, who teach in the Red McCombs Business School. He don't pay no taxes. Multimillionaire. Why don't they pay taxes? Legally, if you go to IRS.gov, the IRS tells you tax law is set up for you to become wealthy. The tax law is set up for you to be wealthy. But people are afraid of the IRS, not me. I like the IRS. I love the IRS. Why? The IRS, they taught me how not to pay taxes. The IRS told me how not to pay taxes. I'm going to tell you what the IRS told me. And that's why I ain't paying no taxes. And they teach it up at UT. My son's up there right now. This is extremely important. My people perish for lack of knowledge. The knowledge I just shared with you, based upon understanding what you produce in your brain, positive or negatively, is produced in your body. The brain is an amplifier of your thoughts. It doesn't judge it. Whatever you picture in your head, that's vision, that's purpose, the brain believes it's real. So how do you see yourself? What is your self-image? My self-image? Oh, man. Did you not read what my father thinks of me? That's all I say to myself every day. Anybody that do not have, well, I got to stop doing this. I'm giving away too much free stuff. But inside of my book, Dare to Be You, I have a whole chapter. There's nothing but scriptures of what God says about you, starting on page 33, because I'm Master Teacher 33. My book, Dare to Be You, if you don't have it, email me and I'll send it to you for free. Dare to Be You. You just have to say what God says about you. Go to page 33 inside of my book, Dare to Be You. I just took everything out of the Bible that God said about you. and you say that about yourself, watch what happens in your life. 21 days is all it takes. Brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah, focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne.
Listen.
Don't let them entities take up your home.
Trippin'.
Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow.
Yeah.
I be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love.
Yeah.
He just wanna give me the mug, because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth. This we've been under rust. So deal with it yourself. Don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace, and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours. It's yours to show. So do it for yourself. You the day one.
Day one.
So do it for yourself. You the day one.
Day one.
I'm back up on my grizzly. Used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large. We live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star. They say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See, right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce to show us how to make it.